Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Shady Rays. SGPN is teaming up with Shady Rays for Shady May. Get 50% off your Shady Rays using promo code SGPN. And then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/shady for your chance to win $500. We're also brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today.
Howdy, all the Generinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 252. It's going out to the road to the UFC tournament. It's given us content to put into your ear holes all week long. We thank him for that. If not, we would have had to cover something like the Muradov Professional League or WOW MMA or some fun thing like that. So thank you, Road.
Samurai Fight House.
I wouldn't complain about that. That's the thing. So, but thank you for coming to the show. I am Jeff Chalks Fox. The man who just spoke is one and only Gunnar Wieland. He's going to help me break down the Sunday action in the Road to UFC Shanghai tournament that is going down this weekend. So hello, Mr. Gummy.
Hey, I have to shout out Samurai Fight House. I'm trying to be better about not interrupting, but when there's a chance to talk about Samurai Fight House, who apparently has a good prospect that now people are talking about. I gotta shout out Samurai Fight House.
Yep, there you go. Gumby is always on the lookout for quality fighters, and he says there's one in Samurai Fight House, so there you go. All right, the last couple episodes, we went through the flyweight and featherweight road to the UFC tournament. Today, we're going to break down all of the bantamweight and lightweight tournament fights that are going down from Shanghai. Let's start things off with the first event of Sunday. This will be 8 a.m., so letting us sleep in a little bit on Sunday as opposed to the 6 a.m. Eastern start time of Saturday. So Sunday, 6 a.m. is the correct start time. I was looking at the wrong fight card. So we got 6 and 8 a.m. both days are the fight cards on UFC Fight Pass. Road to UFC is the promotion. UFC Performance Institute in Shanghai is the place. And we got 5 MMA bouts. We're going to start things off with a feature bout welterweights. It's not part of the tournament. Chris Hoffman, who is from Switzerland, but you said his parents are from the Philippines, I believe.
I don't remember exactly where his family is from, but I think, yes, I think he is. Actually, I think he was born and raised in the Philippines, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. All right. There you go. So he's fighting against Sang-Hoon Yoo, who is from South Korea. This, like I said, is a feature welterweight bout, not part of the tournament. We'll tell you about Yoo first. He's the Korean assassin. So either he's from Korea and he assassinates people, or he assassinates Koreans, or both. Who knows? He's 7-2 with 5 knockouts. He's been knocked out once. Lost win over his last 4 fights. He won his last fight via TKO. That was back in December of 2021. He's 0-1 in the Contender Series. Was a regional champion. He used to fight down at lightweight and up at middleweight. That would be. He's got 4 inches of reach on Hoffman. Hoffman, 8-1 with 8 knockouts. He's been knocked out once, so he's never gone the distance. He's won 8 straight fights. He's not lost since December 2013 when he made his pro MMA debut. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. He used to fight up at middleweight and up at light heavyweight. Go ahead.
I'm going to say Hoffman, slight dog here, maybe like plus 145 to like a negative 160 for you. And I like Hoffman in this one. I'm going to go slight dog to kick it off. You just like backs up too much for my own taste. He like doesn't have a lot of aggression, doesn't have a lot of forward movement. And it's even worse with him because he doesn't manage distance well. So like when he is trying to close in on somebody or to get back at somebody, he doesn't really, he mismeasures a lot of things. Everybody's always out of range, whether with a kick or with a punch. So like, if that's true about you, you kind of have to work to get closer, and he doesn't do any of that work. Hoffman, meanwhile, his punches are wide. I don't really love how skilled he looks on the feet. He does have like a nice 1-2 that he throws right down the middle and can, you know, snap a head back if he needs to. I also think he could do fine if he grapples here. Like if he chooses to wrestle you a little bit, he might do fine. But at the end of the day, like I just think this is a situation where Yu is just not going to do enough to win regularly. And with a guy who hits as hard as Hoffman does, because he does hit hard, he's got a lot of finishes either by ground and pound or on the feet. I just think Yu is going to put himself in harm's way too much, backing up and getting his back against the cage. So give me Hoffman as a slight dog here.
I'm going to put myself in harm's way.
You, yes, you are.
Oh, dear. I didn't even know I was in this fight. I don't think I can make welterweight. Jeez. All right. See what I can do. And I don't know how to fight, so I don't think this is going to go very well. But hey,
that's probably why you're going to be in trouble.
Probably. You're right. One place you're not in trouble ever is Edge. Boost. SGPN is excited to announce an exclusive early access partnership with Edge Boost, the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Similar to buy now, pay later programs like Affirm and Afterpay, Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest and pay back the advance over four equal weekly installments. That's right, 0% interest. Simply deposit funds into your account and Edge Boost will match the deposit so you can use two times the funds on any legal sports betting site. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in advances as you build a repayment history. Hopefully Gumby will tell us his Edge Boost double down play of the day as we go through this card to tell you where to put your money. Actually, you can put your money in any of his picks, but maybe there's one that he likes especially well for you to double down on. Here's what you need to do other than that. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up today. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/EDGE. Must be 21 years or older to use. Only valid in legal gambling states. Problem gambling? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, where are we going to next? Oh, tournament time. Bantamweights. We get our first look at the bantamweights. Long Zhao, from China versus a Japanese fighter, Shohei Nose, who we had fun with his name last time we broke down his fights. All right, Nose, 10-3-2, one knockout, seven submissions, been knocked out twice, 6-1 over his last seven, including winning his last fight via submission. He was 1-1 in last year's road to UFC. He used to fight at featherweight. He was 1-0 in one championship, biggest promotion in the world. 2 inches of reach on Long, and he also is a pro kickboxer. Long should be longer than Nose, but he's not. Long is 24-7, four knockouts, nine submissions. He's been knocked out three times, won two straight fights, 14 of his last 15. However, he's not fought since March of 2022. He is a regional champion, 0-1 in the contender series. He's fight up at featherweight, and he's 2 inches taller than Nose, so I guess he's longer that way.
So I think this is going to be a pick'em, because we got a little familiarity with both of the guys. Nose is a guy coming from Shudo and road to the UFC, and I think he was in the road to one, which is kind of like one. So he's been in a whole bunch of things. Same with Long Zhao. You know, we've seen him on Contender Series. And I mean, I guess other than that, he's just like a Chinese Performance Institute guy. But like, you know, we've seen both of these guys. And I'm going to take, if it is a pick, I'm a true pick, I'm negative 110. I'm going to take Shohei Nose. I think his wrestling is decent enough. He does throw a little bit wild, which I don't particularly love. But he does little things in the wrestling that I like, and also just like has a little bit of extra strength that kind of he throws around to finish the job when his technique is not good enough. Shao had a really tough time taking down Christian Quinones on Contender Series. And like, I don't know about you. I don't particularly rate that takedown defense high. Christian Quinones got good hands, not a particularly good wrestler. He's really going to find out if he is when he fights Kyung Ho Kang next time. But Long Zhao, like, just did not look like he knew what he wanted to do in the wrestling department. So I'm going to say Shohei Nose could probably get the takedowns. If not, he's like kind of a strong enough, wild enough dude on the feet that he should have an easy enough time. So In a what I assume will be a pick'em, give me Shohei Nose.
Hopefully Gumby's pick is on the nose, right?
Hey!
All right. Let me see. What are we doing next? We're switching weight classes. Yeah, we're doing lightweights. Our first lightweight breakdown. Kazuma Murayama from Japan versus another Korean, Sang-ok Kim. And like I said, this is lightweight. All right. Kim, 8-2, 3 knockouts, 2 submissions, never been finished in a fight. He's gone 2-0 and 6 over his last 7. He's won. He's fight at welterweight. He's an inch taller than Muruyama. Muruyama is 11-6, 4 knockouts, 4 submissions. Been knocked out twice, submitted once. 3-1 over his last 4. He did lose his last fight. Used to fight at welterweight. He's a regional champion. And 2012, he's been a pro MMA fighter since.
I'm going to go with Kim here. I think, first of all, he'll probably be a sizable favorite. Like negative, let's say negative 230. Murayama, just kind of slow for me. I don't really trust how fast his striking is. He looks like he's, I don't know if he's just not comfortable or if he just doesn't commit enough to his strikes, but they wind up being slow. And he works all right in the clinch. He's got good control against the cage, even if not phenomenal takedowns. He doesn't really get under the hips well. That's the part I think that sticks out to me as being like, that's a problem. He keeps trying to like move his body lock down and he gets the middle of the back, but he can't really get under the hips or under the legs. So he winds up going for like trips and stuff. And it's just not there. And Kim is just like a really great chain wrestler. He's not a good striker, but I think the fact that Murayama is so slow, I think Kim is going to, you know, survive the striking, which I don't know if he'll do with everybody in this tournament, but he will with Murayama. And his chain wrestling's just good. His transitions on the mat are good. So I think he like kind of avoids what he's the worst at here and squeaks out a win against Murayama.
All right. So Kim is the pick. And what's the number we're hopefully getting
at? Well, I'd like to see it way lower because it's negative 230. I do worry about the fact that, you know, that's my prediction at least. I do worry that he's kind of limited with his hands. So like picking somebody who's limited with their hands at negative 230, always kind of scary. I'd really like him in like the negative 165 range. But like, I don't see him not getting enough takedowns to win this fight. So I am going to go with Kim here.
Okie dokie. Let's go back down to bantamweights. Japanese fighter Shuya Kamikubo versus Chinese fighter Bergin Jilisi. It's the Chinese names that are stumbling me this go around. All right. Bear Jin is 12-3, 4 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. He's won 5 straight fights, 9 straight. He fights he has finished his opponent in that he's won. He's not lost since October of 2020. He's 4 inches taller than Kamikubo. Kamikubo Stealth is the nickname, so we won't even see him in there. He's 12-1-1, 3 knockouts, 3 submissions, never been finished in a fight. He's won 9 straight fights. And he's got 9-0-1 over his last 10. He won his last fight via submission. He's not fought since January 2022. He's not lost since September 2015, so he's on quite a roll here. And he was 6-0 in one championship, so that means something, I take it. Used to fight down at a bantamweight as well, and that's all I got. Actually, this is bantamweight. He probably fights up at featherweight is what I meant. Go ahead.
He does fight up at featherweight as well. That's where he fought Troy Worthen in one championship, although they've got like weird rehydration rules and nobody really knows what's going on here. Kamikubo, huge favorite and easy pick. He's just a beast of a wrestler. He's got great back takes. He's fought very, very high-level opponents. I just mentioned Troy Worthen. He's fought in guys in 1FC who are good. Like Troy Worthen was coming off of a fight, granted a fight he lost, but was coming off a fight with John Lineker, and then they gave him Kamikubo, and both of them finished him. But granted, he's like a tough dude, Troy Worthen is, and just the wrestling of Kamikubo is just way too much. And if you're looking at Jay Lisi, he just like kind of looks like he wishes he was what Kamikubo is. Sometimes his striking looks okay. Sometimes he's trying to drag you to the mat and like beat you up and submit you. But he's done so against like 1/8 of the level of opponent that Kamikubo has and like just looks slower and clunkier doing all of it. So I think Kamikubo is going to roll. If you have any doubts about picking Kamikubo or you're like, oh, I don't know, I haven't seen much of his wrestling or, you know, first of all, you can find a lot of those one fights on YouTube. But second of all, just look at this dude's Tapology picture and check out that cauliflower ear and know that He wrestles. And he comes from a judo background, too. So he mixes the type of wrestling he does really well on the types of grappling. So Kamakubo should be maybe one of the easier picks here on this card.
Yep. You don't want to mess with people with cauliflower ears. That's something you learn quickly in life. All right. Main event of this part of the card, Zhu Rong from China versus Sung Chan Hong from South Korea. This is a lightweight tournament fight. Hong. Tiara, T-Ara is the name. So Tara. Tara with a dash.
Yeah, I don't maybe, know. I kind of like Tiara.
Tiara. Maybe our friend Jong in the Discord can shed some light on that, but we'll call him Tiara for now. He's 9-1 with 2 no contests, 3 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once. Won 3 straight fight, and he's undefeated 9 straight. He's not fought since June of 2022, so he's pretty much a year out of the cage. He's not lost since May of 2013. Crazy. Over a decade of winning. All this man does is win. Used to fight at welterweight, 2012 pro MMA debut. Rong is Little Yama is the nickname. 22-5-5. 14 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been submitted 4 times. Lost win over his last 4. He won his last fight via TKO. 1-2 in the UFC. He has missed weight in his last 2 UFC fights, which helped send him out the door there. Was a regional champion, used to fight at bantamweight and featherweight, 2 inches shorter than Hong.
So, first of all, I Googled Tiara, and it's a South Korean girl pop group, which is...
That's even funnier.
I don't know if that's what his nickname is after, but if it is, dude, that rules. That's a cool nickname. I'm going to say Rong Zhu is obviously going to be the favorite here, right? He's coming from the UFC. Let's say negative 240 for him. Get the turnaround at plus 160 or plus 265. Negative 240 for Rong. That's going to give me plus 220 on the return, let's say. So 220 on the return for Hong. And I'm going to take Hong here, actually. I'm going to take Tiara. For a couple of reasons. Number one, his nickname rules. No, all joking aside. He, first of all, let me tell you my favorite part about his record. He fought this guy, Takanori Sato, who you might remember as having fought in the UFC for a brief moment. He fought Gayu Lim and Eric Silva. He fought him twice. In fact, twice in 3 fights. And both of those fights ended in a no contest due to kicks to the groin. Which is maybe my favorite thing. I don't know if he was losing and he just decided to kick him in the balls again or what, but that's funny. But Hong here, Sung Chan Hong, he beat Sung Kyuk Choi, who we've talked about on this, not this podcast, but a different Road to the UFC podcast. He's also he's a bulldog in there, dude. He just like runs forward. He's got like wild chain wrestling. He just tries to get on top of you. He locks the hands. He rushes forward, and Rong Zhu hits hard. But apart from that, like there was nothing I really loved about Rong Zhu in the UFC. He got taken down a couple of times by Rodrigo Vargas or Kazula Vargas or whatever you want to call him. He clearly got choked out by Ignacio Baja Mondays. Like, there's nothing really that I like that sticks out to me. I guess he's a fun striker and he hits hard. But like apart from that, I think he's just going to get taken down 700 times here by Hong. So. Give me the big dog money on Hong here.
And one of your favorite things was getting kicked in the groin, by the way.
It's when somebody else does, not me.
Oh, okay. I just realized I didn't put down the Kamakubo's odds. What were you hoping we got him at?
What did I say Kamakubo would be? I don't know. We might have to rewind the film to get my official pick on Kamakubo.
Okay. His odds are stealth.
Yes, they're stealthy. He's stealthy.
All right. That's the first night. Not the first night. The first part of Sunday's action. Now we're going to... Actually, let me tell you about our last sponsor. The last but not least sponsor. And then we will jump into the second portion of our breakdown here. I'm going to tell you about Shady Rays and Shady May. Can't forget about them. Shady Rays is teaming up with SGPN for Shady May. Not only do you get an amazing 50% off, but you also have a chance to win $500. Shady Rays have you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and much more. Shady Rays have durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. That's not all. Shady Rays offers the most the same protection all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you to break your pair even on day one. They told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. If you don't love them, exchange for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. And for international listeners, Shady Rays has you covered as well with shipping to Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and United Kingdom. Go to ShadyRays.com and use code SGPN for 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. Then take your receipt to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Shady for your chance to win the $500 Shady contest. Okay.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The second portion of the fights, these basically will run right into one another because this one's starting Sunday at 8 a.m. Eastern from the UFC Performance Institute in Shanghai. We're going to kick things off with another one of a featured bout, not a tournament bout, but it's at, yeah, two of their feature bouts are at weight class that they have a tournament in, but I guess they couldn't fit these guys in. This one's at flyweight as well. We have Sim Kai Xiong, who comes to us from out of Singapore, and he's fighting Peter Daniso, which should be an easy name for me, but it's not. He's fighting out of Thailand. Daniso is the Asian Viking. He's 5-2, 3 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been submitted one time. He's won 5 straight fights. He's not lost a fight since February of 2020. He used to fight up at bantamweight, and he went 1-2 in 1 championship. Xiong, 5-0, 1 knockout, 3 submissions. Won his last fight via submission, and used to fight at bantamweight. And that's all I got on him.
Yeah, so this one for me, let me think about this for odds-wise here. I think these odds would be fairly close. I'm going to take Zhang at, like, let's say negative 155 to, like, plus 130, 135 for Daniso. And Sean looks really good on the feet. I love the way he feints. He's one of those guys who uses feints not too much, but like very effectively when he does. He's super quick. He's got nice push kicks. I really like the way he scrambles too. Like when somebody shoots a takedown, he does a good job of staying out of trouble and sometimes even reversing it for his own good position. Deniso, he's very fun when it comes to jiu-jitsu. I watched somebody knock him down with a strike one time. They came rushing in to finish it, and he was, like, in on a leg lock, and when he didn't get it, he used it to sweep. And so, like, he's very good at jiu-jitsu. Also, he seems to have no neck, so I don't think you could choke him even if you wanted to. Like, he's just, like, a really weirdly shaped guy. But my worry here for Deniso is he's just, like, he's way too slow on the feet to deal with Xiong. And I don't think he has the wrestling to get to the jiu-jitsu enough. So I'm going to take what I believe will be slight favorite Xiong. I just think he's just going to be so much faster. And I think at the end of the day, being a better wrestler, he stays away from the jiu-jitsu.
All right. Xiong is the pick. And you were thinking it was going to be close to a pick'em?
Yeah, I think I said negative 155, probably. Not all the way close to a pick'em, but, like, okay. An easy favorite.
All right. Okay. Let's get to the tournament now. Bantamweights. Eparim Ginting versus Darmisi Zawupasi. Once again, a Chinese name I have trouble with. Ginting is from Indonesia. Indonesia versus Chinese fighters here. All right. Darmisi, the Chinese fighter, 6-0, one knockout, five submissions. So he's finished everyone. He's fight at featherweight, 3 inches taller than Ginting. Ginting is the Wolfman. I would not want to fight him. 6-0, three knockouts, three submissions. So he's finished everyone as well, probably with his claws, I'm assuming, and his big sharp teeth. He's not fought since March of 2022. He's a regional champ. He's fight at featherweight.
So for me, I think when we're trying to decide which one of these guys are our favorites here, which, by the way, we got more One MMA Pride guys in here. I think nice. That was, yeah, Zawupasi probably going to be close to like a negative 200 favorite, 175 on the return for Ginting. And I'm going to take Zawupasi. I think when I watched Ginting, I was like, oh, his wrestling looks kind of good. And then I watched Zawupasi because I was not super familiar with either of these guys. And it just looks way better for Zawupasi. He uses a lot of energy is maybe my only concern with Zawupasi. Like I think maybe I'd like him more if he didn't look so frantic and like he was having a heart attack all the time. But like Ginting doesn't have the wrestling to hold up with there. He is a little bit sharper maybe on the feet and he has like a big overhand right, but he's also going to be way smaller. I think he's just going to be tiny in comparison. I think they're like 5'8 to 5'5. And I just think all of his counters might just come up an inch or two short from the big shot. So, and Zawupasi is also the guy who doesn't really give you a chance to counter because he's just going to bull rush and wrestle you. So, I'm going to go with Zawupasi. And I think he gets it done here, mostly just with the wrestling.
And once again, I always miss the odds for some reason. What were the odds again for him? You were guessing?
I'm guessing negative 200.
Okay. I got to pay more attention when you actually say the odds. All right. Let's move on to lightweights. Wendris Padilima. Padilima, a Singapore, I believe. Yeah, Indonesia, excuse me. Indonesian, and he's fighting against Shin Haraguchi from China. Haraguchi is 5-0 with one no contest. He's knocked out four fighters. He's won two straight fights via TKO, and he is a regional champion. Padilima, the bad boy, 8-0, three knockouts, four submissions. He's won four straight via finish. Was regional champion, used to fight at welterweight. He's 3 inches taller than Haraguchi.
So, real quick correction here. Haraguchi is Japanese, not Chinese.
Did I say Chinese? Yeah.
I think he said Chinese, but he is Japanese. Yeah. I know this particularly well because he was a Japanese national team wrestler. This is as good as you're going to get in this tournament. They keep running into lightweight. Was it a lightweight wrestler? It was another lightweight wrestler they had last time. They keep running into really great lightweight wrestlers from Japan. And this is another one. He's just so good. And Petalima is, I think he wants to strike, but like he's not even particularly great at that. He's erratic. He leans way forward. His punches look like the same kind of punches a Rock'em Sock'em Robot throws. And Haraguchi is just going to plow him over. There's not much to say here other than if Haraguchi is anything less than a negative 750 favorite, put him in all your parlays. But he should just murder him here.
All right. We have our first murder of the card at minus 750 murder. He's going to take care of the bad boy here. All right. Let's move on to our second to last fight of the night. Chang, or the morning for most of us watching it, Chang Ho Lee from South Korea versus Singh. It just is R Singh. Rana Rudra Patch Pratap Singh. So that's why he has four names. That's why Tapology couldn't fit it all here. You can also call him Rajput as a nickname. He's 11-1, two knockouts, nine submissions. So he's finished everyone. And his one loss has come via knockout. So he's never gone the distance. Won his last fight via submission. That was back in May of 2022. 1-0-1 championship. He's fight at lightweight, used fight at welterweight. 2 inches taller than Lee, 7-1, two knockouts, four submissions. Never been finished in a fight. TKO win in his last fight. He also was 1-0 in one championship and used to fight at flyweight.
I don't mean to set a trend here because if you listen to our breakdown on yesterday's show, I talked about how an Indian wrestler had a pretty rough resume, and I'm going to talk about that again. Rana I'm just going to call him Singh. Rana Singh is his record is terrible, man. The best win he has is over a guy who's 4-3. Everybody else is like 1-0, 0-0. There's one guy whose record says NA. Like, they're not even sure. Maybe he's got a record. Like, he's just fought bad competition. The only guy he actually fought was in Brave, and he just got manhandled. He looked really bad. He looked like he... I think he has wrestling. I think his wrestling's decent, but he just has no idea how to get to it. He doesn't have a single clue on how to get to it. And Chang Ho Lee does know how to wrestle quite a bit. And not only does he know how to wrestle, he's got great ground and pound once it's there. He counters well with submissions. His only loss is to the guy we just talked about a second ago, Sim Kai Shong. And that was a really fun fight for Brave CF. Like, and he's fought much better competition, too. So, yeah, I think he's just going to blow right through Singh here. So give me Chang Ho Lee. I will say, if we're looking for odds, who I think the odds will be. Both of these guys have fought for promotions. I still think Chang Ho Lee should probably be a big favorite. They're going to fade the Indian fighters coming from weird promotions that aren't particularly good. So I'll say, let's say -250 for Lee.
Alrighty, time for the last fight of the 20 fights we've broken down for you this week for this Road to UFC event. All right, this one is at lightweight, Wong Bin Ki. We'll see if he really did win or won. He is South Korean versus Bati Bolati. Have we talked about him before from China? I recognize
we have.
His name.
We have.
He's
an LFA guy.
Yeah, there you go. Bataboli Batipolati. He's the Lion King, Batipolati is. 7-1-1, 4 knockouts, 1 submission, never been finished in any fight. He's won 3 of his last 4, including his last fight. He's fight at welterweight and middleweight. He's 6 years younger than Key, and he's got 2 inches of reach on him. Key is the danger. 17-8, 11 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out 5 times, submitted once. 3-1 with a TKO win in his last fight. 1-1 on the road to UFC last season. He has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Okay, break it down.
So I think Key is going to be a pretty big underdog here, +185. I'm going to take him here against Batavolati. Batavolati was fighting Ryan Leninger in his last fight. Leninger is kind of a guy we've talked about liking a little bit, but has since kind of shown maybe he's not as good as I thought he was. And that fight went to split decision. And when I look at Batavolati and I watched him fight again, he does lean in really weirdly. And as the fight gets later and later, he kind of gets held against the cage. He seems to run out of gas really easily. And I'll say this about Wong Bin Ki. In his fight with Jekka Seregi, he was cracking him. He was hitting him hard. And granted, that fight only went a little while before he got knocked out. But like, he can crack in his own right, and he does a good job of staying out of range, except for, you know, that one counter that got him. And Seregi hits hard, so certainly no shame in that. But I think just Batavolati is going to put his chin out there, and Wong Bin Ki is going to just touch it once. And that's really all he needs to do. So give me Wong Bin Ki.
All right, what number do you say again? Because, of course, I missed
you. Stop listening. +185, yes. I guessed.
Once that voice starts in my ears, that's it.
You
all right. We did it. We did all 20 fights. All right. Let's break down the last 10 we just did on this episode for you. He's got Hong as hopefully a big dog. He's got Kamikubo. None of us can remember what the odds Gam predicted was for that fight.
Yeah, favorite.
A favorite, yeah. He's got Kim as a big favorite. He's got Nose probably as a pick'em. Hopefully maybe a dog for us. Hoffman as a dog. Key as a dog. Lee as a big favorite. Haraguchi as a huge favorite, probably the biggest one in the tournament. Daramisi as a sizable favorite, and Ziong as a favorite. Did I get them all right?
I think so. We just broke down 20 fights, so yeah, I think so.
It would have sucked if we did this all in one sitting. That would have sucked, eh?
Yeah, it would have been brutal. We definitely didn't do that.
that would have been forever. Especially if I was away on a vacation for a long weekend. But anyhow, hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure you let us know. Well, we need praise. Give say, give us a review and I'll dedicate an episode to you. How about that? Rate, review, subscribe. I never say that, but you should all do that and tell your friends and enemies to listen as well. Discord, we're at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. We hang out in the fights channel. If you want to, we have fun emojis like Yanni the Greek emoji for all your losses. So get in there, have some fun. Twitter, SGP and MMA. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm a Jeff Fox writer. He's got his Top Turtle MMA podcast that he hosts with a good co-host, not quite as good as me, but a good one nonetheless. So make sure you listen to that to hear Gumby interview some of these people that we talk about on this here show of ours. All the SGPN stuff you need to know is at sportsgamblingpodcast.com, and all my MMA writings can get in your inbox if you subscribe at moneymma.substack.com. And Gumby's going to take us home after this mammoth road to UFC week.
I'm David Gumby Vreeland. He's the Asian Viking, Jeff Fox, and we will see you on Sunday.